Welcome to the CFO Show. I'm your host, Melissa Howitson, CFO of Venna Solutions.
And I'm Tom Siegmiller, VP of FP&A at Venna Solutions. With a potential recession looming, annual budget planning is going to take on a lot more importance this year. So Melissa, if you think about areas where finance teams should double down, increase their focus, or really be pointed, where would they be this year?
I think three things really come to mind for me. With uncertainty around your bookings and your revenue, the only controllable is your expenses. And that's where scenario planning is really going to be key. I think secondly, the efficiency theme is going to remain in focus. And on that note, you need to find ways to help your business think differently about how you're doing things. Is it time to bring back zero-based budgeting? And third, specific to technology, artificial intelligence is a really big topic. And so I think as finance teams think about their budget, what's the appropriate amount to fund for artificial intelligence and where are you going to redeploy that money from?
So if we think a little bit about scenario planning and the fact that growth is still going to be a desired outcome for businesses, how can finance professionals actually help to shape the strategy and drive the business forward?
Well, you really can't make a financial plan without knowing how does it interrelate with your strategic plan, your product roadmap, your go-to-market plans. And so I think finance needs to be a leading role in many parts of that. For instance, the annual budget and a big voice on the strategic plan. But also they're a key stakeholder in all the other business plans, at least riding alongside to make sure that where that's going is eventually mapping back to the budgeting that you've got.
So is it actually any fundamentally different than day-to-day? So you think about it, we have a whole series of assumptions or drivers in the business. I think of this maybe as just a slightly different backdrop. What do you think?
I agree. A lot is fundamentally the same, but there's more of a focus on the fact that this is a constrained environment and therefore finance is expected to step up even more than ever. And people are really looking for finance to be that voice. I think our voice has gotten a little larger than it was in different operating environments. And so really key to step up, help the business understand where changes might be needed and how, and really focusing on that change management is going to be key.
So we could talk about this all day, which is clearly a fault of mine. But at this point, I think we're going to take a little bit of a break. When we come back from the break, we'll be joined by a fantastic guest to talk us through annual budget planning.
I'm looking forward to it.
Me too.
The CFO Show is brought to you by Venna, the intelligent platform for complete planning. Venna's award-winning platform makes financial and operational planning more efficient, unlocks performance, and increases financial intelligence across the business, so finance teams and business leaders can plan for anything. Learn more at vennasolutions.com.
Joining us now to discuss annual budget planning further is Harjit Ghai, co-founder and COO of Delbridge Solutions. Harjit, thank you so much for joining us today.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
As we plan ahead and with a potential recession looming, I'm really eager to hear your insights. What are your projections and expectations as we navigate the path ahead? And what do you think is top of mind for CFOs?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, this year is obviously a roller coaster ride. We see a lot of inflation, obviously, in the market. We see rising interest rates. And there's been a lot of shift in terms of pressure on the CFO to focus on profitability and cash flow management. In the past, it was just revenue growth. They can borrow money, they can grow the company and have the revenue growth year after year. Now it's more on profitability and cash flow management. I'm seeing right now that with money being hard to borrow, organizations and companies and CFOs have a lot of pressure to really reduce the cost in terms of organization as well. And that has positive and negative effects as well, right? So when you're reducing costs, typically headcount is your biggest cost. And, you know, laying off people in the organization, it, you know, affects the morale in the organization as well as retention. So there's a lot of pressure on CFOs to increase profitability, increase cash flow, but they're doing it by reducing headcount. And unfortunately, they're losing a lot of talent. So, you know, they're forced to really do more with less, which is very difficult. So I think this is going to continue this year. I think next year, hopefully, with inflation being under control and interest rates coming down again next year, hopefully, I think you're going to start seeing a shift more on revenue growth and people, you know, actually growing the headcount in an organization as well.
So Harjit, the anticipation of a recession in 2024 is going to provide all sorts of unique and like special challenges for CFOs to tackle within the business. Can you elaborate on some of the considerations or maybe market factors that people should be watching for?
Absolutely. So right now, in terms of what I'm seeing in the market working with CFOs, is that there's a lot of pressure on CFOs, as I mentioned, on cash flow management and profitability. But, you know, recession is here. And there's only certain things they can do. So what I would recommend to CFOs and what I'm also seeing from CFOs is really improving their cash flow management through doing better forecasting, right? So typically in the past, we would see CFOs maybe doing forecasting once 6 months, once a quarter. We're encouraging them to do it more often, maybe once a month at the very least. By doing a better forecast, a more accurate forecast, they can see how the company is performing, how the market is performing, and make decisions better in terms of the future, right? So forecasting is very important. We're also recommending that they do more scenario planning or what if modeling, right? So in a recession, a lot of things can happen, inflation, unemployment, interest rates. So by having what if models, they can plan for different scenarios. And then this allows them to also have mitigation strategies as well. So if something happens in the market tomorrow, they already have a scenario plan for that, right? We're also recommending, and we're also seeing in the market right now with CFOs, is for talent management, right? A couple of years ago, it was a great resignation. This year, unfortunately, it's more layoffs. So we think it's very critical for CFOs to keep their critical employees in the organization by motivating them, giving them better responsibilities or more responsibilities, and improving their skill set through maybe perhaps giving them some training courses as well, right? So these are some of the main things that we're seeing in terms of the CFO, in terms of what's happening in the current market with the recession.
What a huge change in approach over the last couple of years.
Yeah, it's definitely been much different than it was a couple of years ago, for sure. You're seeing, you know, when we talked about profitability and cash flow management, a couple of years ago on LinkedIn, you would see everybody posting, I got a new job, here's my new laptop, here's my new hat, here's my new water bottle. I haven't seen one of those posts in the last 6 months.
So totally agree. It's a way more cautious approach to cash and expense management. Absolutely. Making sure you're not getting ahead of yourself with investments. So this fear of recession, and you mentioned we're in it as well, which, you know, we do hear that often. How do you think that leaders effectively address these concerns and create an ability of stability and trust when you've got employees starting to worry about that stability and you want to make sure you're retaining them?
All right. There's definitely, fear amongst employees in an organization right now with what's happening in the market. So the only certainty that, you know, I feel that an organization can give, a CFO can give, is A, you know, open communication, especially in private companies, because you don't necessarily, employees don't necessarily see how the company's doing. So I think it's really important for a private company, especially for having open communication where a CFO or the CEO can disclose how the company's actually performing financially, right? So this way, employees know what's happening in the organization. They don't get any surprises, but it might even motivate them to work harder to kind of bring the company back up where it should be. Right. So one is open communication. I also think from an employee retention, it's very important for organizations to give appreciation and kudos to their employees. Right. So if they're doing a great job, if they're a consulting company that had go lives, if it's a sales organization, they had new sales, give kudos and appreciation to your employees. This boosts morale and also improves employee retention as well. Right. Working from home is very common. You know, every organization has work from home policy these days. Some organizations have completely work from home, but we're missing that human touch. So I also encourage organizations to have more team building events where they bring everybody into the office. Sometimes I know it could get expensive. We're not expecting them to go on a cruise, but maybe do a lunch and learn, maybe do a happy hour after work where you bring all your employees into the office and have a team building event for, you know, building that human touch within the organization. And I think this also helps with retention and company morale as well, right? So giving kudos, team building, training is another one. You know, I feel right now in today's economy, especially in the finance organization, finance folks are, you know, they're relied on to do more things. It's not just FP&A work. Some of them are implementing technology. They have to be a bit more technical, right? So we also encourage, you know, organizations to invest in training for their employees to improve their skill set and keep motivated in the organization as well, right? The last point I'll make is really around paying employees their fair market price, right? And a recession doesn't mean you cut people's salaries. If you have good people, they're going to leave or they're going to go to another company, and it's going to cost you more to hire an external recruiter to find a replacement. So we always encourage, you know, pay fairly and, you know, make sure your employees are happy so they're retained in the organization.
So over the last couple of years, there's been almost hyperinflation of pay raises in markets. And I think there's a chance that employees' expectations would align to what history might have shown them over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
How should we be thinking about balancing off the financial constraints or health of the business with ultimately retaining good people?
Yeah, that's a double-edged sword. You know, it's very difficult to do that. A couple of years ago, I think it was an employee's market. You know, they were able to go to the boss and get a raise because they have five other job offers. You know, it's obviously changed in the last couple of years. I think right now it's more of an employer's market. But with their, you know, with the current market situation, I do think it's hard to keep good talent, you know, but you also have to pay them accordingly. If they deserve a raise or a, you know, a promotion, you obviously have to make a financial adjustment. But I think you can do other things as opposed to just giving financial increase or a pay increase to somebody, right? You can maybe give them more sick days, maybe more vacation days, maybe a gym membership, other things that might not be as expensive or for the organization as opposed to just giving a pay increase, which will help, you know, with the employee's motivation and retaining that employee as well. So it doesn't just have to be a financial pay increase. There's other things that an organization can do as well. But it's hard to do, you know, if you pay them more and to keep them, you're obviously reducing your profitability as well. So it is a double-edged sword, but I think there's other things you can give to an employee to make them feel wanted and retained as well.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think when times are really good, throwing money at people seems a bit like the easy button and the obvious one. Yeah. But in times of constraint, I think it really does tap on leaders to be more creative and really step up in leadership. You know, when I think about even how you're helping employees build their career currency, there's yep. great experiences and opportunities that they can get that are going to help build their resume that really are long plays in terms of, you know, creating more worth and value. But we have to help employees see that value, listen to them, understand where they want to go and how they want to grow their careers, because I think that we need to, as leaders, probably lean more into that than ever before to also help counter some of what became higher and higher expectations that are not sustainable over the long run. But it definitely an interesting challenge that it gives to us. So Harjit, thank you so much for joining us for this discussion. We've certainly gotten some great insights from you. And we always like to close our episodes with two rapid fire questions. So are you ready?
Sure.
So what is the best piece of business or leadership advice that you have received?
I've received a lot of advice over the years. If I had to pinpoint, I would say the most important one that I got that I think shaped my career in the last 15 years was one of my mentors. He told me that when you build a team, if you're managing the team, always trying to find people who are smarter than you, right? So there's skill set that I have. There's some skills that I'm good at, right? And some tasks I can do really well, but there's a lot of other skills I don't have and tasks that maybe some other folks can do better. So I was told, build a team around you that with people who you think are smarter than you, and then delegate to them things that perhaps they do better than you. You don't have to be the hero as a manager or a leader, you know, delegate the tasks. And this lets them do what they do best. It lets you spend time on what you do best. But also by giving them management responsibilities, even though they may not be a manager, your team members, it kind of shapes them. It shapes them to be a future leader of their company in the future, right? So giving them management responsibility, you'll see who's, you know, the cream of the crop, who has the capabilities to become a leader in the future in the company as well.
Great advice. And the next one, what's something that you do in your personal life that helps you be a better you in your professional life?
So I do like enjoy going to the gym very often. Sometimes too often. The last couple of months, I've actually taken a bit of a break because I had surgery on my arm. I injured it at the actual gym itself, doing some heavy weights. But I do like going to the gym. It allows me to, all the stress that I build up at work during the day or during the week, it lets me, you know, burn that off at the gym. And I come back motivated and fresh for the next day at work. So going to the gym is a great way for me to relieve some stress that I have, you know, from the company and work as well.
Tremendous advice here. Thank you so much for joining us. And I'd like to thank my co-host, Tom Siegmiller, for joining us as well. Subscribe wherever you listen to or watch podcasts so that you don't miss an episode. For the CFO Show, I'm Melissa Howitson. Until next time.